Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to the human beings, to the insan, Allah has distributed in two parts the human beings. And in the Quran Hakim, the noble Quran, Allah, with regards to those two groupings and two parts of the two types, Allah has addressed them. Sometimes Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O you who are from the creation. Allah addresses everybody. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala addresses or says, Allah addresses the mu'mineen, the believers. And sometimes Allah also mentions those who have no iman, no faith. Allah mentions them. And after that, then the other status or other ranks or levels come. So the main levels are these, and these two groupings or types of people, all of human beings, either ya ayyuhan nas, this means everyone Allah is addressing, all human beings, no sect, there's no differentiation Allah has made when Allah says ya ayyuhan nas, that you are part of a special group or sect or people. But when Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, then it's a special select group of human beings Allah is addressing. Those people who with Allah's grace and His mercy, whichever, however they have, at any time in their life, that in Allah they have brought faith and belief, and apart from Allah, those they have rejected, and that is called La. Put your hands up, La. That I have no relation, connection with anyone, that Allah says that they just directly believe in me. Everything that is sharik with Allah, I shun that, I don't believe in that, and I'm free from that. This is called La, saying La. In other words, to deny and reject everything else, illallah, except just one being, and that being Pak holy, I have believed in him, and all the combination and the greatness of all qualities and characteristics, Allah is beyond that, above that, everything is in his control. He is the one who created, and he is the one who has also created us. Allah created the whole universe, and I believe in him, and I trust in him. This is those who have iman. So that's a person who has belief. And these are the qualities of the believer, that to believe in Allah, in your Lord, in your Creator, your owner, your provider of wealth, this is the way to believe in Him. So this is iman that Allah Ta'ala has defined. That when Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in the Quran, this is the definition of the believers, that when a person says that he believes in Allah, he gets this status, that after iman, he says, I believe Allah, he gets to that, whether he's in hiding, secretly, whatever, but when he submits and bows his head, it's in front of Allah. When he asks from Allah. When he trusts tawakkal, he does tawakkal Allah. If he makes a mistake, then he says, Allah, forgive me. He asks from Allah as well if he makes a mistake. He doesn't ask from men. He asks from Allah. Allah is so merciful. Subhanallah. He is so powerful, merciful, that when his servant asks for forgiveness, then Allah doesn't look at his sins. Allah looks at his grace, his mercy. Subhanallah, mashallah. Allah says, you are my servant, you've made a mistake. You're a human being, but Allah likes it when the human being accepts that he's made a mistake. Allah, I've made a mistake, I've made an error. Then Allah puts his mercy in front. And his mercy is such that with his mercy, Allah says, I forgive all that person's sins, and I elevate his iman, strengthen his iman, and I bring his status back to the high status. Subhanallah, this is Allah's mercy. Yeah, we are the ones who lose out though. We don't understand this. So we have a connection with Allah. So should we have worries in life? Should we have distress in life? Totally not. We have a connection. The father doesn't forgive the children. The mother doesn't forgive the children. The uncle, chacha doesn't forgive. The chachi doesn't forgive the children. Nobody forgives. Even if the closest relationship, mother, even the mother sometimes doesn't forgive the children. She even becomes maybe arrogant or stubborn, maybe with some conditions. But our Mawla, our Rabb, our Lord, He has no conditions to forgive us. No conditions. SubhanAllah. Just one condition. That you ask me, Allah says, and I'll give to you. That's the condition. What amazing, merciful Allah, the Creator. So, such a great big mat Allah spread out, and we don't ask for forgiveness on that mat. It's amazing. It's shocking. Allah says, I've given you the ability, even then you don't ask for forgiveness. This is shocking then, isn't it? It's sad. So iman, a person has belief, it is a highly powerful thing Allah has given to us, very useful. Allah says, when He addresses the people of iman, belief, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then this is good news to the believers. Allah says, don't worry, there will be traps and falls in your life. Allah says, I'll just test your iman. I will test you. Sometimes you'll fall down, just stand back up. If you trip up and fall down, slip up, get back up. Allah says, don't lose hope though. Never give up on the journey. Never give up. The person who gives up, who has no hope, thinks, oh, I don't have no one to look after me. There's no one helping me, assisting me. But if we know Allah's hand is behind us, there's a power behind us, then why does he give up, that person? Why does he lose hope and think that he's got nobody to help him? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So nothing to be worried about in life. Just the real point to understand and remember is that all peace, sukoon, and the principle of life should be that make your relationship with Allah strong and live your life in a good way. If you make a mistake, then the connection breaks, ask for forgiveness, Allah reconnects. Make a mistake, the connection breaks, ask Allah for forgiveness, then the connection's made again. Yes, there's no gap in between. No gap. What's this? But this is the game of life that we must play and travel with Allah. And when you do this, you do this, you do this, you die. And the person who does this up till death, then Allah opens the doors of paradise for that person. Yes? Allah said, when did I say to you, become muttaqi and righteous and pious? Allah says, be a sinful person who keeps asking for forgiveness. This is what I want Allah says. Say SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. This is the journey that we need to live. So Allah says, say, hey, make a mistake. Ask for forgiveness. When you come out, make a mistake again. Oh, what did I do here? Ask Allah for forgiveness again. Then your level goes back again. Then you make a mistake again. Commit a sin. Then you fall down again. You carry on like this. You die. Allah says, I open the doors of paradise. But Allah, the angels say, Allah, he used to sin. No, Allah will say, he was a good person. They used to do everything fine. Why? Because I gave him a methodology. I want to give him Jannah on his yaqeen, on his certainty. He had believed that Allah is there to forgive me. He had believed that Allah is there to forgive him. That's all there is to it. He had belief that Allah is there to him, that there's someone behind me, assisting me, helping me. So Allah says, he could have asked me for forgiveness. When did I say to him to give up? Or to be totally clean, pious. When did I say to you that come back to me and zero, no speck of dirt on your body? Then I'll give Jannah. Allah says, no problem. Even if you brought the sins, the speck of sins with you and you've come to thereafter, Allah says, I've prepared for that. Then according to that, I'll put you into the fire and clean you. Then I'll take you and put you into paradise. Worst case scenario, Jannah is there waiting for him. Jannah is in his destiny because he said, La. He believed in Allah. Do you understand? It's in his destiny. It's lazim, it's essential, it's compulsory that he will eventually go to Jannah. It's definitely going to come to him. But the case now is that there are more than 100 levels of Jannah. So now you choose which level of Jannah you want to go to. Allah says, I've got that level that I can give you the nearness to the prophets, the highest level. I can give you the nearness to the awliya Allah, the wali Allahs. I can give you the nearness to the sahaba in paradise. And I can also give you the qurb to my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, what else do you want? Allah says, ask for me, Allah says. So this is what we have to do in the world while we're living. That we need to make our strength and our relationship with Allah. Jannah is definitely there waiting for us. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Jannah 100% is waiting for us. But you need to strengthen your nearness to Allah. Qurb. So this is why we work hard in the dunya. SubhanAllah. Just strengthen your qurb, your nearness to Allah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, wa amalu salihat. Then Allah says the next thing, not for Jannah. Allah, these are my way of explaining. If you like it, accept it. If you don't like it, then just leave what I'm saying. No problem. I'm not telling you from the kitabs or the books. I'm telling you the way I understand and like to explain. So, brothers, After Iman, Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, wa amilu salihat. You've got Iman, number one. So that's not for Jannah. Jannah is already there. You've said, La ilaha illallah. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed. Yes, Allah says that, but your shaykh, he reminds you in every dhikr gathering, he tells you to read this kalima. Just to revise, Qulu la ilaha illallah. Qulu la ilaha illallah. It's just a revision. Revision. We're just making our lesson solid so we can revise. Yes, so that you can get guaranteed Jannah. You get the ticket of Jannah while you're living in this world. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we do this. So then the second statement Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, salihat, now talking about. It's not for Jannah. Allah says, you are my believer, you believe in me. So what I think Allah says is that you need to get the high grade in the hereafter. What's this that you're going to go right at that bottom in a ditch? One person I saw in a dream. And he was from Randall Street Masjid and he passed away. And he used to read a lot of Quran, he used to sit in the side of the masjid, he used to do his amal, his deeds and read Quran. And he was doing his actions for Jannah. But the high class daraja, the rank status, Allah has told us the way to attain that, the method to practice. If you want high class Jannah, then you need to practice that life. Then there's one practice, a very easy practice to get high class Jannah. That go and take the hand of such a person already who's high class. That's a great technique. Get his guidance and his company. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the easy method to get the high level in paradise. Hasn't Allah said in the Quran? Qunu ma as-sadiqeen. Allah is instructing us, go to the people who are on the righteous, salihin path. Because if you take his hand and guidance, then you'll go with him in the hereafter. Just like the Sahaba ikram. The noble companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, whoever you love, you'll be with him in the hereafter. Obviously, if you take someone's hand and guidance, you'll have love for that person. If you don't have 100% love, at least you'll have 1% or a splash of love for that person. At least your heart will feel a little bit good because you've taken that person's hand as guidance. If you don't, then Allah will instill that love in your heart for that person. So today, may Allah give a health to this person and afiyat and goodness. He's a sick person. So very good man he is. But quite critical situation he's in. He's sick. May Allah give him life and give him health. So at some time he took my hand. He took my hand when I visited him. And he was a bit weak in coming, going to the majlis. He used to sit sometimes in the majlis, sometimes not. Sometimes he'd listen, busy in the world, busy in the dunya, everything. And from quite some time he is sick. So when today I went to visit him, subhanAllah, then he's reminding me, the Hazrat, I've took your hand one day in the past and I made a big disrespect one day that it was Eid day. And everybody who stood in the line to shake your hand, and I felt a bit unwell, I didn't join the line. And imagine what he's remembering now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at the minute detail he's remembering now. What made him remind this? Remember this. Oh, I took your hand before that. But the point is this, that I don't feel even now. But I can feel now the guidance I took from you, and because he's in a critical situation. And try to understand what he's saying is that he said your big favor is on me, and he doesn't really have a stronger relationship with me as it should be. Like coming to the majalis, the gatherings and sitting. Like qurb, the tariqah, you know, the student and shaykh relationship. Allah has given us methods and tariqah. And those people who practice that, they work hard to get close to the teacher and to get the benefit. And you should do this. You should do this. This is deen. This is the path Allah has formulated for the rajat, for the ranks in the hereafter. The Jannah, the way to Jannah is iman. And to elevate your iman is this, the relationship with the teacher, how to have adab. And he, with love and muhabbat, he said that, you know, you gave me your hand today. I feel that all my peace is in the hand I extended out to get your companionship and all du'as. And he did a cool sahib. He said, Hazab, great favor of yours on me. Even though he didn't have a strong connection with me, but just he took my hand as a teacher. And imagine those people who spend their whole life with the teacher in the company. He says, at that time you realize when you're departing and leaving the dunya, then you realize the benefit of the teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Remember this, the extremely great benefit that Allah Ta'ala gives at that time. That don't lose out from this. Don't lose out from this connection or as a student. If Allah gives you the tawfiq that you've taken the hand of a sheikh, it's a massive favor of Allah. This benefit you will see at that time or not in during your life. But I'm telling you, that person today who I visited in a critical health situation, his words, I'm telling you, he said, that I felt today, Hazrat Sahib, that my story of life is about to finish. I've got nothing to my name. I've got no assistance, no deeds. I'm being called back to the hereafter now. My final time is here. I may pass away. So, the sukoon, the peace, the satisfaction, he said, is in nothing. But I remember I gave you my hand, I extended my hand out to you as you teach, I accepted you. And subhanAllah, when I remember that, I feel ease and peace at that time. So, we're satay healthy, isn't it? But ask a sick person these words and he will tell you. You know when you got a headache even? A headache. That even, we can't even bear that. A headache, can we? A normal headache. If you got a pain in your hand, you can't even bear that. Pain in your eye, you can't bear that. But imagine a mariz who's in critical situation and he's really suffering, and he's suffering from a long time, and he can't get any solution, and nothing's giving him solution. But then, as soon as he puts his finger on the hand of a person who's going to guide his feeling, make him feel nice and satisfied and at peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, I said to him that, look, I won't say anything small or broken. I'll tell you the honest truth. That Allah has made you do a good action. Now you can stay alive or die. But it's you are Naqshbandi. You will rise as a Naqshbandi in the hereafter. With that maqam. And this was your desire. This was your desire. Despite the fact you've done nothing really. You've done nothing. No practice. But the love and respect you had in heart. And he took the hand. When he gets there in the hand. Doesn't matter what level of love. Then it comes inside. When he took the hand or just even grasped the finger. Yes, a person disrespects, then he realizes that he was disrespectful. If he does khidmat service, then he gets happiness. SubhanAllah. If he gets told off by the teacher, then his tabiyat, he says, why did I give distress or difficulty to my teacher? Why did I pester my teacher? Yani, in other words, these are all the emotions of a student. Just by taking the hand, the guidance of the teacher, you get injected with such a current that you go on high levels after that. Your hand came into my hand, then it illuminated me inside. All the paths open up for the student as guidance. But we don't realize this during the life. He's immersed and worried about his dunya, but he has attained success already. All these things I'm telling you for what reason? Why am I telling you these things? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us iman, he's given us belief. Yes, I was talking about that person. So there was a person who passed away from the Randall Free Masjid. And Allah ta'ala showed me him in the dream. And I saw, salamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, we used to have in the dunya whilst he was living. And he used to practice, he used to pray salah, he used to come to the masjid, he used to read Quran. You know, a routine, we have all our routine lives. So I thought, what maqam he must have. And you know the council houses we have in the States, even at a smaller, alhamdulillah, even if you get that in Jannah, that's a great thing in paradise. Even that is a great achievement that we can't even think that, I don't think I deserve even that. I speak about myself, may Allah even give me that small, minute council house. I'm just looking at my deeds. I'm not saying for you. May Allah even give me that. MashaAllah, you are of high status. You are pious people. Say, hey, you'll get big things in the hereafter. So he was just leaning in this small home. And it's like these sort of simple council houses like type structure. It was even smaller than that room. And I'm thinking, I went up to him and I thought I'll go and speak to him. I said, is this your house? He said, yes, this is my house. And then he said one or two things. And then I went from there. So what does this mean? What I meant, why was I shown this in the dream? I was shown for this reason, that do you want this house, a small man house, or do you want that house where you go and your eyes go wide open, 70 rooms, and such a palace of made of pearls, in which 70,000 rooms will be, and in every room there will be 70 all rooms, in every room will be decorated with complete luxuries, and you'll have a full kingdom in the hereafter. Do you want that type of house, or do you want this minor small council house in the hereafter? So what you need to do, elevate your status now, and use the means at your disposal now, to get the best house in the hereafter. This is where a person loses. Oh, no, it's okay. I just prayed salah. That's enough. I just do the fard salah. That's enough. Why do we need to follow sunnah? It's not necessary. Why is it necessary to have a shaykh teach? What's this zikr and extra? Okay, I just recite a bit of Quran every day. Okay, fine. Okay, when your eyes close, then you'll realize in the after that where those people and where you are. That's when you'll realize, when your eyes close. So you will be there as long as where you were practicing, and he who took the guidance of the teacher, then he will be higher and he'll be with that person who he took the guidance with. Big difference in the levels. Why? Because by taking the hand of the teacher and you have the love, then it will revive your deen and your passion. Then when those things become apparent in the hereafter, here you are suppressing them, burying them, say subhanallah. Here you are stopping yourself, not practicing. So there you will experience and witness the rewards and luxuries of those things that here you can see. So when you take the guidance of a person, everything is within us. But when you close your eyes, then that love will come out, it will become apparent. It will be expressed in the hereafter. Subhanallah. So that mashallah, the amount you loved here and had the connection here with the good people, then you'll get the reward in the hereafter multiplied of, because there's a principle of love, that love makes a person desperate. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does love do? It makes a person desperate. If you, for example, you'd heard film songs when you were young, and this person, Lata, and this person, I'm desperate, I'm yearning for your love, I'm waiting for you. People have heard, you hear these songs in the dunya. That is the love of a person in the dunya, a woman or a man, a woman's telling a man's telling a woman, I'm longing for your love. But that will stop saying the dunya. You don't get no benefit. But whatever love you have, wherever it is, it keeps a person desperate, longing and yearning. Just like a mother has the love for the child. If you come here and your mother's in another part of the world, she's desperate to see you. What's the hal of my son? He hasn't phoned me for so many days. What's my son doing today? Has he done something? Then when you phone her, and then if you sneeze on the phone, she'll be desperate. Are you okay, my son? Have you got the flu? Have you got a cold? What's wrong with you? What's that called? That's the love of the mother that makes her desperate for the child. Yes? I'm giving examples here. My son, are you okay? Is your work going okay? Is your studies okay? Oh, just phone me, my son, every few days. Are you okay? Are you okay? How are you okay? Repeatedly, the mother is asking. This is called desperate love. Immense love. Deep love, you can say. Deep love. So this is the temporary. But the real deep love is what? The real connection, the real love. When you make that real connection, then you will get the real love, the genuine love. So a person who attains real love, to attain real muhabbat, that's actually the real love. It's not temporary. It's not temporary. So to imagine that, the temporary love, the hal, examples are given, then imagine the example of the real love. How can a student live without seeing his teacher? Say subhanAllah. He's desperately longing to see a teacher. How can he not want to attend that majlis? These are like jannati gatherings, isn't it? Jannati. That I want to sit in the gathering, in the majlis, and she my shaykh, because his love has been aroused and become alive. And then he says that I promise to you that come to that place. Come to that place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the means, the resources Allah has given us, the after iman, when you've got belief, when you're a believer, if you want to increase your level, go to a high level in paradise, then adopt the means that Allah has given to you. In other words, the guidance of the teacher, so your rank and thereafter can be increased. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we practice and do amal, then behind every deed, Allah has put thawab, rewards. What does Allah put? Thawab. Isn't it? Allah's got that you do this action, you get this much reward. If you do this action, you get this reward. If you do X, Y, Z, you get this much reward. So what is this thawab? These are the steps on the ladder. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So doing righteous deeds, these are steps that will take you high into paradise when you do amal. The more deeds you practice, the more you will go up the steps and you will go higher in your levels. The more you practice. That's why the thawab is a step. Reward is a step. Allah says, now you come to this step on the ladder, this step on the ladder, this step. That's why I said that when a person prays nafal, 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 then he goes close to Allah's qurb when he implements the nawafil. Extra. So those people who work hard, who struggle and they practice deeds, then they're elevating their steps and their rank and their level in the hereafter. No, this, I've prayed salah, don't tell me anymore. That's fine, that's enough. I've just prayed salah. Okay, fine, up to you. That's fine. Oh, I've done the compulsory actions. I don't need to do anything else. I have to work in the dunya. We're busy people. Oh, what's the point of practicing sunnah? It's not farad. Normal people say this nowadays. Normal people. Don't you know that the sunnah practice was the greatest reward? That Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever practices my sunnah will be with me in paradise. Imagine. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now tell me, where will the topi take you? Where will the bareheaded person take you? Where will the imama on the head take you? The turban. So do you promise that from today you will wear the turban? Whoever promises, put your hands up. That I'm going to wear imama turban. After hearing this hadith, at least you should feel in the heart that I want to wear imama. Whoever loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he should love this imama, this turban. Then he will be with the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever follows my sunnah will be with me in the hereafter. Is there anyone who doesn't want to put his hand up? You should put your hands up high. At least even if you are a little bit of the imama, say, Allah, because I want to imitate your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what difference does it make there if I wrap a bit of cloth on my head? What difference will it make to my life? That do I want to please my desires or do I want to please your Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ask yourself the question. You want to please your desires or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So these are the deeds that we need to think about. Whoever doesn't want to, don't practice, up to you. We're going to die one day or you're not going to die one day. You're going to stay here forever in the world. So these deeds that you have, this wealth, the money in this world, you can't buy nothing. If you say in the hereafter, oh, I've got millions, I'll get Jannah, I'll buy Jannah in the hereafter. With this money currency in the world, Allahu Akbar, what can you do in the hereafter? You can't even buy an atom particle. With this money, you might get punishment, but you can't get the place in Jannah. A unique statement this is. Do you understand what I'm saying? That this money in the world, why do you give you all your life for it? And my Hazrat Sahib used to say a great statement. The why do you give your life for the thing that will die? In other words, the money that will finish in this world. Why are you dying for that money that will finish in this world, foolish person? Die for that action that is alive and will make you alive in the hereafter. Die for that. Give your life for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, work hard and make effort on deeds that will give you rewards in the hereafter. That's what that statement means. So every second when a person practices, every moment when a person does deeds, Allah says, I've given you high grade preparation for the hereafter. And what is that? Following the sunnah practices. The sunnah practice is the greatest practice in this world. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the highest level in the hereafter. He is the greatest prophet. So if you try to follow him, then you are working the hardest. And the highest maqam of the greatest wali Allah is that wali Allah who practiced the most the sunnah in his lifetime. Very easy, you can see this in your world. He is a wali Allah, he had miracles, or he did this. Forget all of this stuff. Just look at that person who is immersed in following the sunnah practices in his life. Follow that person. Follow that person. Look for that person. End of story. All of the other people are down. Yes, we have to look at Quran and Sharia. Allah's guaranteed to us the gun, that when Allah's the angels are rejoicing, we don't understand the verses of the Quran. Why do you read Quran? Oh, I get thawab. Why are you doing this? I get thawab. Then why don't you go to the biggest shuka, easy route to Jannah? Just take hold of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle and you go straight to Jannah. Everyone else will be behind you. You'll be at the front of the queue. Front of the queue. You don't understand what I'm saying? So what a great shortcut. Follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best way of life. The best way to get success. And there's no hard effort here. It's not much effort. Look, what points come in my mind and I share them with you. In this action, why don't you have to work hard? Why there's no pain? There's no distress? There's no worry? There's no problem? Why? Because this is the path of the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this path, you are traveling it with love. There's no distress, no anxiety, no frustration, no pressure, no stress. Enjoyment. People laugh at you, you'll enjoy it. People mock you, you'll enjoy it. Because you are practicing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. We are proud of that. Allah says, That person, that Allah do dua, Allah give me the qurb and the nearness to your Prophet Muhammad. What does this mean? That Allah give me his qurb. What does this mean? That Allah allow me to imitate your Nabi so I can get close to him and get close to you, Allah. That's it. You're standing, sitting, walking, traveling, your lifestyle. Take all the examples of the Prophet. Leave the dunya. I'm not interested in dunya. What the people do? The people of the world like this dress and attire. I like the attire of the Prophet because it gets me close to Allah. In the world, people like other colors. I like this color because Allah's Nabi, he liked this, so it gets me closer to him. And do it with love. Do it love. Oh, I have to wear under pressure the turban. Oh, I have to leave this as well. No, it's too hard for me. Oh, we have to do this as well. Oh gosh, it's too hard. This is not the path of forcing people. Rather, when you practice the sunnah, say, Alhamdulillah, your mercy, you've allowed me to practice this sunnah. It's your mercy. Imagine the difference in the mindset. The mindset. So look inside you. What jazbah do you have inside yourself? Ask yourself the question now while you're sitting here. By wearing this and you're proud of that, or you say, no. Oh, what will Hazab say if I don't wear the turban, if I shave the beard? What will Hazab say? One person said, if I don't wear this, you should say, if I don't wear this or do this practice, that I don't want to lose the love of the Prophet Muhammad. Allah, I don't want to lose his love for a second. So for not a second, I want to leave the sunnah. I want my mahbub. I want your mahbub, Allah, to be close to me. Look at the difference. That's your intention, it should be. And this one has your desire and passion and a want and a need. Will you do it like this? Say inshallah. So don't be half this, half that. Be 100% firm. Yes. Bold. Be bold in your practice. Baz. Yes, have high level target. Have a high aim. Even the angels will be envious of you. That look at this human being, the practice of the sunnah he's doing. Even the angels will have. And there's just one action that will allow that. Man ahya sunnati inda fasad al ummati. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he's telling us with a guarantee. He was warning us as well that there will come a time when there'll be fasad, there will be trials and tests and fitna. He's told us it. Look at this hadith. I'm just sharing this hadith with you in my style. Manaya sunnati in the fasad al ummati. The sahaba said, fasad? There will be fasad in the ummah? What fasad will there be? The Prophet said that generation will come, well, there'll be fasad and there'll be a lot of distress and there'll be extreme darkness in society in them days. In such holy places in that day, in such holy places, in the high grade spiritual places in the world. The holy places, the greatest place, where there should be the greatest nearness to Allah, there will be just one thing there, that Rasulullah says, my Sharia and my Sunnah will be discarded and rejected. And this is fasad the akbar we have. There was such a generation come, the Sahaba was shocked, that will there be believers at that time? The Prophet said, yes, there will be believers at that time. Then won't they have a desire to have a higher level? And the Prophet said, they won't have a desire for this, they'll have the desire to make their houses higher. High in the height. What will they have desire for? Not to elevate the iman and make the iman strong. Rather, they will have the desire to make many houses and high tool houses. They want status in the world. High class image. High class respect in the world. Lots of wealth and assets and money. They want to earn respect. They will have fikr of the dunya. And the worry for the hereafter will diminish. So where will... Yes, they will have forgotten the darajat and the rank in the hereafter. Rather, those places that we should visit to attain the darajat, they will try to destroy them, that this is a waste of time. And here we should have those things, that what we should do? Allahu Akbar. Replace the holy places and elevate the dunya. They want to elevate themselves in the dunya. That we should be seen around the world, that we are the best and the advanced and progressed. Yes, we will show you how to become naked in the world. Oh, you can't tell us how to dance. Our girls will show you how to dance. Oh, your sisters and girls, they're not naked. We'll show you how to be naked. We'll compete with you how to do these things. Say subhanallah. What generation is that? The Sahaba shocked and dismayed. Fasad will come in the world. The Rasulullah said, my sunnah, forget that at that time. Forget that. There'll be no sign of my sunnah, the Prophet said. The deen of Islam, due to which there's forgiveness, Jannah, due to which we will get Allah's nearness, there will be no sign of that in the world. Rasulullah said it will disappear from the world's face at that time. There'll be defects. If we practice the deen today, we'll say, oh no, we won't get a status, we won't have image, we won't get respect. Rather, if I'm practicing Islam, we'll think it's a defect in my life, just like there's a stain on the clothes. So for example, if you get a stain on your kameez or dirt from far, someone will look at you, oh, there's a stain on your clothes. Oh, what's this on your clothes? So if you practice the sunnah today, it will be like people will point fingers at you, like you've got a stain on your life. They'll point fingers at you. If they say to me, oh, why are you practicing this? Oh, it's too hard for me to do this. Too hard. I can't do this, bro. I can't do this. Oh, tell me some easy action to do. I can't follow this sunnah. Isn't this the generation we're living in today that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to his sahaba? Think about it. Are we in that generation now? Huh? You think about it. I'll think about it. Let's just analyze. Are we in that environment today, society today, that was being foretold? In the holy places, most holy places, I'm not talking about normal places, I'm talking about the extremely holy places, can there be a bigger facade than this that we are seeing? Tell me. Tell me. And this facade, evil, no power of the world will remove, no wali Allah, no pious person, my Hazrat Sahib announced after me, no one will come a status of a sheikh after that. That there'll be a drought and famine after this. My Hazrat Sahib said this. That you won't hear, no one will want to listen about deen from anybody. No one will be able to bear it, or understand it, or accept it. Yes, joke today is, people will be mocked, those who are practicing will be mocked and joked at. No one will dare to tell someone else about the deen or give some advice. Yes, there'll be, the most intellectual person will be who? The person who rejects and criticizes the deen the most, he'll be considered the most intellectual person. Say subhanallah. The person who will criticize and mock the deen the most, he will be considered the most intellectual. People say he knows the Quran the most. People say he's got the most hadith knowledge. Oh, he's very intellectual. Look at what he's saying. Look at his translation. What's in Ramadan? People say it's just a philosophy of some past practice. He says that I'll tell you that these actions aren't proven from the Prophet. This isn't proven from the Sunnah. The Prophet never did these actions. The beard. No. You don't need to keep the beard like that. The people at that time used to keep the beard and they didn't have the blades at that time. They didn't have shavers, so people used to keep the beards because they didn't have blades. So these are the philosophies that are presented today. Oh, he's intellectual. Oh, he's a scientist, modern. And look how many followers he's got today in the thousands. If you go there, media, social media, you have millions of followers following that person, social media. Say subhanallah. This is our state today. Yes, defects. The person who picks the bones in a person who's practicing the deen. Are we living in that era today, generation that I'm talking about? The signs I'm giving you? Does it look like we're living in that era today? Is this the era we're living today? Possibly. Most possibly. In that generation, the person who lives in that day, the animals, the swines and the dogs and cats, they will be like that in the hereafter, who criticize. The world, the earth will be fed up of those people. The earth will send curse on those people who reject. The earth will seek refuge and will pray, Allah, please pick these people up from the earth. Allah, send something. Allah, send something. Tapus, wali Allahs will stop. Ghosh will stop. Kitab will stop. There will be no one to save. Then Allah Ta'ala Himself, He will create a human being He will send. Because Allah has to spread the deen. Mahdi alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Yes, because the fitna in the world, to compete with the fitna, Allah will send such a human being that even the wali Allahs will not compete. That will be the fitna of Dajjal. And only he can compete, that Allah will select the human being, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Allah will send to the world. And even he will put his hands up on one day. There's so much fitna there is, because this is the generation when I'm telling you. This is that we are living in this era now. Allah Ta'ala then will send His Nabi, who Allah Ta'ala has kept aside in reserve at the moment. Allah will send him as well. Because Allah Ta'ala lifted him, isn't it? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Allah lifted him, didn't he? Now you also leave the world at the moment. Temporary. Yes? So Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, then Isa alayhi salam come, and then Mahdi alayhi salam said that you are here to compete with Dajjal. So this will be such a fitna that's quite a long time in advance in their hearts this fitna will be generated and the effects of this fitna. You know when there's something bad, evil, fitna is evil. Those evil forces that are in our hearts that stop us practicing the sunnah, this is the Dajjal fitna that's in our hearts already. Because the biggest enemy, the Dajjal will have the biggest enmity. He will be the enemy of those who practice and imitate the Prophet ﷺ. And he won't be able to oppose the sunnah. Where this sunnah, the Dajjal will fail. Because that will be his mission, to eliminate the sunnah. But there will be nobody practicing on the sunnah at that time. Very few and far between. So today we see that there are people who are not practicing. They are because at the moment the effects have been generated in the heart of the Dajjali fitna. And we don't see many people. So those effects are making us sisters naked and making our brothers shave the beards, cut the beards, making the sisters take the libas of their bodies, go towards fahisha, immodesty.
And then they're teaching us to go towards haram and to leave salah. And all order of Allah, all orders of Allah, this fitna of Dajjal is taking us far from that. So he's overwhelming us. He's overtaking us, you could say. What does that say? He's arrived. That fitna. Slowly. That fitna, gradually, you can say. Gradually, it's making us, penetrating us, absorb. So that is taking an effect in us. So when the real form will come, then imagine how hard it will be at that time. So that's why I stated that Dajjal, the dua, Rasulullah said, after every salah, he used to recite the dua in abundance. Why? Because from that time of the Prophet ﷺ, to eliminate the effects of Dajjal, the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he taught us how to get away from that. It's a beautiful story. Maybe I'll go a bit off, but remember 100%, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, and they joked amongst each other. They were just joking. There was Azwaj Mutahara, they were just talking to each other. And Hazrat Umm Salma, radiallahu anha, she was a little bit sort of scared, get afraid or anxious, a bit quickly. So they said that, get her scared of Dajjal. I can't remember the whole story. The other wives of the Prophet, the mothers of the believers. So this is in a riwayat that she was sat in her room, she was shaking and she was afraid. They said, what's happened to her? And they said, what's the matter? What's happened to you? She said, Dajjal is coming. Dajjal, the Prophet, she said to the Prophet, Dajjal, he said, where's the Dajjal? No, Rasulullah, I was told Dajjal is coming. So tell me now that from that time, even at that time, the fear was there and the Prophet ﷺ was present amongst his Sahaba. So imagine how big that fitna will be. Do you understand my words, what I'm telling you? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that facade, that evil, so the protection for that, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't leave my sunnah practices, otherwise the Dajjal fitna will penetrate inside you. And when it goes inside you, it will go to your generations, to your offspring, to your children. So this imam will save you, the beard will save you, my dress code will save you, my niqabs will save you, the niqabs of the women, the parda will save you. Hijab will save you from, otherwise you won't be saved from the big fitna of the Dajjal. Have fear right now. Allah Ta'ala says, Prophet said, Man nahayata sunnati inda fasad al ummati. That he who revives my sunnah in the time of evil. Allah's Nabi said, at this time, make an intention right now that you'll practice the sunnah. That right now, this opportunity to be saved from this fitna. That whoever follows my Habib sunnah, Allah says, because this is the path my Habib has formulated. Told you, whoever believes on this point, then consider inside him, the Dajjal fitna will not penetrate him much at all. And there'll be a difference. Like for example, there's a big gathering, and in the big gathering, a wali Allah speaking, that practice the sunnah, and a few people practice and a few don't, that this is the sign that here he has got less penetration of the fitna. They've accepted the sunnah, they've accepted the message, and those who will get the Dajjal fitna will penetrate them more, they will run away from practicing sunnah. So Allah announces, big announcement, man yaa sunnati in the fasad al ummati falahum ajrun mi'atu shaheed. Subhanallah. That imagine you can't imagine the reward of one martyr, shaheed. Allah says in the Quran, balayahum. You cannot imagine the rank, the reward of a shaheed. Your life in, you cannot imagine in your brain that what life Allah gives to a shaheed, everlasting life to a martyr, the reward. So in this hadith we learn that if you revive a sunnah, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. Then imagine how much thawab you'll get by reviving the sunnah. So will we practice the sunnah? That get rid of the fitna in your life by practicing the sunnah. Bring the sunnah into your life. And the things that are stopping you, that's gone in sin. Then accept it that something's inside me that's stopping me practicing the sunnah. Then wipe that away. Get rid of that. Standing, sitting, traveling your life, take the sunnah kitab, learn about the sunnah, study the sunnahs, study the hadith, tell your children the hadith, practice that. In other words, with this niyyah, intention that we want to be saved from this big facade fitna that's already penetrated us. Because if it comes more, then it will totally make us from those who have no iman. And that the Dajjal's mission is to make us those who don't believe. And the effects of Dajjal will make a person without faith, without iman. And with that effect, it will make a person a munafiq. And with that Dajjal effect, it will make a person a fasik, an evildoer. And with that Dajjal effect, it will make a person who rejects hadith. With that same effect, it will make a person who will make a disrespectful of the sunnah of the Prophet. With that effect, it will make a person who disrespect the wali Allah. With those effects of Dajjal, it make a person who spreads fasad. So to suppress and crush this fitna, then with that same power, hold on to and imitate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and teach that and encourage others to do that to your children and family. So, anyway, where did we start from? Allah Ta'ala's khatab. This was what we're talking about, weren't we? That the hadith of yesterday, I couldn't discuss that today. So we've left that over. We've run out of time. So, iman, the person who has iman, definitely he's guaranteed you go to paradise, but if you want to elevate your status in paradise, you want to get the nearness in the hereafter, then you must adopt those actions in life. And whatever high level deed you do, according to that, you will get the high level in hereafter. If you want to be amongst the Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Saliheen, you want their daraja, their rank and status, subhanAllah, then you must bring into your life their actions. And more than that, Allah has given us an easy access, easy resource. More than that, that if you can't adopt the ways and the actions, that at least take the company of the good people. Even if you can't practice that much, get their company. Can there be anything easier than this? I can't pray that much salah that my sheikh prays. I can't be as pious and upright and righteous like my sheikh is pious. I can't crush my desires the amount that my sheikh does. But I've got love for my teacher. I want to be with him. Subhanallah. At least have this desire. At least have this desire. Nare takbir, Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Allah's takbir, may he elevate this statement that I said. Yes, I want to live with my sheikh in the hereafter, but I can't practice as good as he does. Allah says, no worries, then I'll make it easier than that for you. Allah says, what is that? Qunu ma sadiqin, just stick yourself to the good person. Super glue yourself to the pious person, to your sheikh. Don't leave him then. Don't leave him then. Then what will happen? Then you will arrive to where he will go to, inshallah. You will arrive to where he will go to. Let me share with you, my Hazrat Sahib, he said something to me, and because it's come from a wali Allah's tongue, so my iman attests that this is 100% correct and true event. And where Hazrat Sahib heard this was a kashf of vision, but beautifully he told me this and shared it with us. So I'm sharing with you, this is an event of love based on, it's not a Sharia point, because this is the wali Allah who's telling us from the basis of love. So I'm sharing that with you. Such a wali Allah is telling you, who told me, who is a sahib of Sharia. So much Sharia practice that his name has spread the Islam in Europe today. That was my sheikh. This is the Islam that he spread in Europe. This is the real Islam that I spread. Imama, burqa, hijab, beards. This is Islam. This is iman. About this, this is the genuine Islam that he spread. So from his blessed tongue, I heard this event. Great when he said that. Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ramdai Ghaus Park, great title, great wali Allah who's passed in the history of Islam. Wali Allah, great wali Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give him millions of times over high level, and may Allah give us his extreme love. Subhanallah. So, and he had like a person who used to wash his clothes and used to serve his sheikh. Because the walis of Allah, they have people who serve them. There'll be someone who's picking up the shoes. There's no division. The khadim doesn't think I'm big. He just says, I'm a khadim. I'm serving the teacher. That's it. And whoever says to him, what do you do? He says, I'm khadim. He doesn't mention what he does. Subhanallah. And he gets enjoyment, khidmat, serving the teacher. Yes, that, you know, the people, the high grade the khadim attains, high grade who is honest and genuine, sincere khadim. So, mashallah, even if the sheikh tells you off, slaps you, scolds you, even then they have the love for the teacher. Even then they have the love for the teacher. Subhanallah. So he was the dobi. He used to wash the clothes. Abdul Qadir Jilani, what did he do for him? He was his dobi. He used to wash his clothes for him. Blessed clothes. So Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, is telling this story. So everyone's going to die. He died as well, the dobi. The angels came. Yes. And he said, Man Rabbuka? He said, I am the person who cleaned the clothes of Abdul Qadir. Man Rasulukum? He said, I am Abdul Qadir Jalani's Dobi. Man Dinuka? He said, I am Abdul Qadir Jalani's Dobi. He said, I've never heard this answer up to now. Hazrat Sahib saying this. That what's this answer he's giving? I cleaned the clothes of Abdul Qadir Jalani. Then they directed him to Allah and said, Allah, that this looks like a mu'min believer. All his actions were good. And the reports we can see, everything we can check his records. You know, the doctor looks at the analysis, the report. That when they're diagnosing the sickness, the doctor, he will diagnose. So the same way, when you get in the grave, you'll be diagnosed, assessment, scan. The angels say, Allah, we've scanned him, all his actions. What's he saying? His answer, what language is Abdul Qadir Jilani, Abdul Qadir Jilani, Abdul. So Allah gave the answer.
that open the door of Jannah. Whatever he's saying, he's saying the right thing. Open the door of Jannah. He is saying that what I said in the Quran. Qulu masadikin, go to the righteous person. That he sat with him and he didn't sit with him. Rather, my Shaykh, my Wali Allah, the dirt on his clothes, he used to clean that. So, would I not clean his heart then, Allah says? Would I not clean his heart? That my Mahbub Wali Allah used to clean the dirt on his clothes. Then will I, Rabb, not clean the dirt on his heart? Subhanallah. What a great story, eh? Great story. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the high daraja, high rank status actions. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Rusli. What a unique bayan today, eh? Great bayan, eh? Subhanallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين يا الله ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سے دانشتہ غیر دانشتہ جو گناہ اور خطائیں ہیں میرے مولا تو بڑا کریم ہے تو بڑا فضل کرنے والا ہے تو بڑا معاف کرنے والا ہے یا اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے درجات بلند فرما دے ہمارے ذکروں کو بلند فرما دے ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما دے ہماری نمازوں کو قبول فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ اس رمضان میں تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ اس رمضان میں تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ ہمیں پیارے حبیب کی سنت سے محبت نصیب فرما ان کا عمل نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون السلام علی المرسلین الحمد للہ